Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by BioCleanTex.com on Sports Radio 610.
All right, before we hear from Lovie Smith in what I am calling the worst press conference a Texans coach has ever put on, your reaction to what you heard from Rusty Harden. The text line, by the way, I don't want to use the word skeptical, and I don't want to represent the opinion of everyone because we each have opinions, and that's what makes it a beautiful thing. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are one. Quiñones has been a polarizing figure on the text line for many reasons. There are some that feel that was the most passionate defense of Deshaun Watson. I would tend to agree. There are others who think she's kind of talking out of both ends in that she wants it to play out, but Deshaun Watson did not do this. She's listing his football accomplishments and then saying there just appears to be, according to the text line, I think, according to anyone who listens, there are some interesting things that stick out when she spoke.
Yeah, look, I think the one thing that resonated the most to me has a lot to do with that. First of all, she has been the most passionate. I think she is very, very much has a strong, you know, background in this. She's been a survivor herself, and I think she's credible. But I will say this, they're using, again, you keep seeing hints of how their defense is going to go. It's going to be about his reputation, about this didn't happen, that it was consensual. They both used the same word and the same term, which I found interesting, both Ms. Quiñones and Rusty Harden. She said, you have to look at the, quote, full tapestry of his life and then come up with a decision. No, you don't. And she knows this. She's an attorney. He knows this. Yes, it's something that can maybe give you some character background, maybe establish that he has good character outside of these allegations, which we already know. But I've said it before, Landry. We all have demons. You don't know anyone all the way. So, yes, look at the full tapestry of his life. But this particular, these 22 complaints, filings, are about these particular instances. But that's the defense they're
going
to go with.
Going around the league here on Sports Radio 610. The thing I do find interesting about this is that's what she wants. But I think the Deshaun Watson camp, whether it's Quincy Avery, David Mulligetta, they haven't given others the benefit of the doubt in situations like this that are, quite honestly, the allegations and maybe the mistake made by the other person wasn't on this level. And didn't reach this point to where we're talking about on a court of law. So I thought it was interesting. The Watson camp, they don't really practice what his legal team is now preaching. And you also had another member of the Watson camp, Brian Burney, unlike the tweets that he was liking from Charles F. and James, of all people, basically victim shaming and, you know, talking about the Texans conspiracy theory. He unliked those. And I'm actually... It sounds like I'm being sarcastic. I'm actually proud of the little man for doing that because it's...
I think you're being a little sarcastic.
No, it's good to see that maybe he's growing up from this because the camp has been absolute ass through the whole process. And I think little Brian Burney of Athletes First has been the most ridiculous one. But good on him for taking down or unliking those tweets because he looked like a jackass doing that So I'm very proud of him. He's growing up from this.
Okay.
My little man's getting so big.
I'll take you for your word there about, quote, little man. But it was a bad move. I mean, if you're going to, especially when Rusty Harden is going to criticize this culture of social media and how people are passing judgment right away, you've got someone from Athletes First doing that exact same thing multiple times.
A guy who has a sworn statement.
Yes.
From you on this case. That was dumb to begin with. I truly am glad that he at least fixed that mistake that honestly should never be made by someone representing an athlete during times like
this. You know who's not glad?
That's good for him.
Is Rusty Harden. Like, this is kind of one of the core parts of our entire defense. Is they rush to judgment. The public rush to judgment. This shouldn't be out in public. You know, the tapestry of his life needs to be considered. And then you're doing that about them? Rusty Harden's been very careful about saying, I'm not talking about these women and that they shouldn't come forward.
Yeah.
We're just going to defend it
right.
Because we think it's wrong. And then one of the guys who represents Deshaun Watson does that exact thing.
Yeah, it's silly. It's silly. The camp has been very, very loose. Maybe they learn from this. You would hope so. Maybe Deshaun Watson. I think Mulugeta in the past was a little loose on social media as well. I'm sure he's learning a lesson. But the difference between Mulugeta, Quincy Avery, and Brian Burney, Mulugeta is one of the best at what he does. Regardless of what else he does, he's one of the best agents in the league.
Yeah.
I think he even is looking at this and saying, hey, little man, Brian Burney, what are you doing there? What are you doing
what
there?
What are you doing here?
What are you doing, man?
What are you doing?
Unlike those tweets, figure it out. Let's tone this down just a little bit. The worst press conference that I've ever heard from a Houston Texans coach. I'm including Bill O'Brien.
I know.
I'm including Kubiak. I'm including David Coley.
Yeah.
This is the worst press conference that I've ever heard from a Houston Texans coach.
Based on what?
Failed pandering. An apparent inability to grasp the modern day NFL.
Okay, you know, that's the part. That's one of the gaping holes that would left me. But I didn't think it was that bad.
Other than
that gaping hole.
It was bad.
We'll get to it.
I had to trim a lot of the fat. This was Lovie Smith, defensive coordinator for the Houston Texans. John McClain had been asking for it. John McClain got it. Here was Lovie Smith last week in what I am calling the worst press conference in the history of Houston Texans coaches.
You know, explaining or defining our defensive philosophy, we just want, there's some things we want to get accomplished, you know, defensively. It all kind of starts with how you win football games, scoring points. So, well, you know, I like for us to have a defense that realizes that number one goal is to score. The second goal we have would be to take the ball away. We need to be good on third downs. In order to accomplish that, though, we want a smart defense that's fundamentally sound, that plays hard each down. Hey, I'm a product of Texas high school football and proud of it. Some of the same fundamentals that Coach Glenn Arnold, who coaches high
Legend.
School basketball here for 50 years in the Houston area, taught. We're teaching the same thing still to this day. So excited about a new group coming in, and everybody starting from scratch and showing us exactly who they are, plus to put the best 11 guys on the football field to help us win games.
All right, so.
So what's the problem?
Nothing
okay. wrong with that so far.
It's just over-the-top pandering.
I mean,
first of all, I don't give. You sound like a college coach from the early 2000s talking about instilling high school football philosophies into the game.
That's, right, I'm not with 20, you yet. I'm going to join you.
You're 20 years late to the party there, and look, you're just pandering, name-dropping there, trying to make some sense of this. This isn't like some sort of college coaching job you're taking.
So far, I disagree with you. But I know for a fact I will agree with you on one gaping hole.
Worst press conference ever by a Texans coach here on Sports Radio 610.
Love you. You're taking over defense. It was one of the worst in NFL history at forcing turnovers. What can you do, even though you got a lot of new players and a lot of them are gone? What is the key to forcing turnovers?
First off, John, it's good to see you, man.
Good to see you.
And I know people say, well, turnovers just come. I don't believe that. I think when you come and watch us practice, you're going to see an emphasis being placed on that daily, it starts talking about it first, of things that you have to get done. If you're not taking the ball away, if you're not good on third downs, if you're not scoring, you're not a good defense. It's just not about total yards. So that's, for some reason, we've been able to get that accomplished just about everywhere we've been. And it's going to start with a basic philosophy to the players, and they're going to buy into it, and we're going to be teaching it every day, just like we're going to be teaching tackling.
Hi, Lovie. Since you have last been in the NFL, what's something you think schematically offenses are doing differently now that affects what you have to do as a defensive coordinator now, maybe, and emphasize more than you did before?
Well, I think when I initially left, we initially left NFL, it's probably more adjustments we had to make then. You know, the college game, it's a lot more run, quarterback run, dominated offenses. I think our system, you know, what we, you know, and everybody has a system, you tweak it from year to year, but I don't think we'll have to adjust ours that much. I just think that now we'll be able to run our, we in college, we weren't able to run our entire system.
What? You were there for 4 years. We weren't able to run our entire system?
This is the part where I totally agree with you.
What is it? What? How much time did you need?
I was listening to this, and
I couldn't run your system.
I literally said to the radio what you just said. What? 4 years, Lovie Smith, NFL defensive coordinator and coach, and you go to college and you cannot implement your entire defensive system? I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, like, okay, well, maybe because of the offenses and, you know, more zone read and all that. But I'm like, well, wait a minute. They run more zone read in the NFL now. What does this mean for the Texans? I mean, have you ever heard of some of these quarterbacks that you're going to be facing in this league?
His defense has struggled in Tampa Bay, and they struggled at the college level. This comes across as a guy who the game has passed by. You've heard James Ehedebo talk about Romeo Crennel being stuck in the Stone Age. That's kind of what Lovie Smith sounds like. Here's more of arguably the worst press conference a Houston Texans coach has ever had.
Most of the time you go three receivers. We kept our base defense on the field. We didn't play our nickel package as much. So I think our defense is more suited for the NFL game, and we'll make the tweaks and things like that. But we feel pretty good about what I've seen. And even though, you know, we've been in college, I watch the NFL games each week.
That's cool.
I mean, so you watch football each week and you try to keep up on what all is going on, trends that are going on in college and, of course, with the NFL too.
Does he not think there's going to be three wide receiver sets in the NFL? He made it seem like three wide receiver sets was like a revolutionary thing that made it hard to adjust to. He literally just said that.
I know. And that's when I did the double take on that, because if you don't think
it's bro, what are you talking about, man?
If you don't think it's well suited for the college game, it's better suited for the NFL game, you haven't really been paying attention to what is winning and what teams are doing in the NFL a lot. I hope it was just chatter and he was just trying to, you know, to just kind of answer the question with a stock answer, but that was not great.
Lovie, when you talked to David about this job, what was it about this team or this role in Houston that intrigued you?
Well, Sarah, first thing was, Sarah, are you from Texas?
Oh, I'm not.
I am. I'm a product of Texas high school football. Damn. So the chance to come back, played a big part in it.
Lovie, first off, okay, welcome back to Texas and the Texans.
You listen mentioned to this. Earlier listen to this, how it caps off.
That was one of the reasons you wanted to come here, was getting back home to Texas. I'm with the Gilmer Mirror, 15 miles up the road from where you grew up.
Awesome.
So I have to ask you,
what is this?
You know that everybody in East Texas has rooted for you wherever you have.
Dude, what is this?
What is the Gilmer Mirror? I know the guy. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah.
But who cares?
Nobody cares.
It's NFL.
Those two answers that he had on his defense,
troubling.
Very troubling. I want to give him the benefit of that. I want to think he's just like, you know, just kind of talking about, yeah, well, you know, we'll see if we can adjust, et cetera. It translates better. But if you couldn't implement your defense in at Illinois, and you think it translates easier to the NFL, let me introduce you to Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson and how many others are now, and even other quarterbacks that are, you know, not necessarily considered zone read offenses, still use a lot of those. That's being implemented across the league.
It's very, very similar. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Round the NFL here on Sports Radio 610 every day at 1 o'clock. Speaking of the NFL, was everything that happened last Friday increasing the likelihood of a Deshaun Watson trade? We'll discuss next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Did everything that happened last Friday increase the likelihood of a Deshaun Watson trade? Could the trade still happen that we've been anticipating for a while? 17 days till day one of the draft. Philadelphia and Miami are believed right now to be the top two teams to watch as this thing does approach. Who knows what the hell could happen this week? But if we're just talking about an increase, not a 100% certainty that it is or isn't going to happen, did what happened last Friday with the two hearings, the 7:45 and then the 11 a.m., the statements from Rusty Harden, the consolidation of all 22 lawsuits into one, at the very least, regardless of how much or how little, did the chances of a Deshaun Watson trade increase based on last Friday's events?
I think slightly, okay? And I don't mean to cop out because clearly, so many things are working against the trade happening before the draft at minimum, and certainly maybe even beyond that. Just so we're clear, I still think it's going to happen. I still think it's going to happen sooner rather than later. And that, I'm not just pulling that out of thin air here. So to that end, I think it did help a little bit because when it became so apparent and you heard these voices and saw these faces, I think it really, really motivated, despite what he is saying, it really, really motivated Rusty Harden to really lean into a settlement. I think there are so many reasons that this Deshaun Watson, no matter what you're hearing, is probably going to end up settling this, that when there's a settlement, and if we are leaning that way, it decreases the odds of a criminal investigation. Doesn't eliminate it, but it decreases the odds of a criminal allegations emerging. And it might even affect an NFL suspension. I think he's going to get suspended no matter what. But any team that's thinking about trading for Deshaun Watson knows that and can prepare for that. I think marginally it helped speed up a trade, but it didn't like necessarily guarantee it.
I think it's clear that when we talk about a potential trade for Deshaun Watson, teams have been crossed off the list. So as far as just like this bidding war that we thought was going to happen, that's gone.
Yeah.
Because the Jets are out. The Panthers appear to be out. The 49ers are out. Mm-hmm. So that's gone. And there are teams that might be hesitant to trade for Deshaun Watson for obvious reasons. But I don't think that completely eliminates the possibility of a trade just because there's not going to be this bidding war,
right?
Because it only takes one. And if the Philadelphia Eagles now think that they're the only team that's going to try to get Deshaun Watson, do you really put a firm line in the sand and say, I'm only going to offer this, this, this? Because the reality is, regardless of what you're willing to trade for Deshaun Watson, you're still going to be in a situation where the same risks that you're taking are going to be the same risks regardless.
Right.
And if
right.
you're willing to take those risks, chances are that you've done your homework and you feel like Deshaun Watson is going to be able to play for your team next season or whenever. So if you're the Philadelphia Eagles and you were willing to offer a few first-round picks before, you might actually be more inclined to do that now because you're going to be the only team up there and you know that the Texans might find it in their best interest to just wait this out and see what the NFL does, et cetera. But really, if there is just a Philadelphia and Miami, I don't think it eliminates the possibility of a trade at all. As a matter of fact, it might increase the offer that Philadelphia is willing to make.
Now, look, what you're saying that Philadelphia is going to do is kind of hedging against the future. Like if they're sitting there going, you know, this is probably going to be settled. If they're basically saying what we're saying, it's probably going to be settled
probably the odds are way down that there's going to be criminal charges brought. And it probably is going to lessen, or at least the length of time it's going to lessen an NFL suspension. You're willing to put up with that. So you're saying they're hedging against the future, because if all that happens in the future and they wait to trade, then the price, more people might get involved and the price might go up. So they're going to overpay now. That's what you're saying. What I'm saying in response to that is maybe, but I think right now the Texans can't hedge on that. They might. They got Jalen Hurts, you know, and they can afford to wait. The Texans don't want Deshaun Watson around all this much. We saw their video on Texans 360, their highlight video. They've eliminated Deshaun Watson references completely out of it. They're scrubbing their website outside of the news items that are on the website that have his name in it. But no real features, no real images, no real anything. The Texans want out, man. I mean, they want out, so they might have to settle for less.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. If you were the GM, let's say you're the GM of the Miami Dolphins, and I think their 10-win season last year, I think you can make a case that it might have been fool's gold because the Patriots had all the opt-outs, the Jets were terrible, the Buffalo was really the only good team in the division. I think all the other teams are getting better, to say the least. In Buffalo, they're kind of holding serve and doing their thing. If you were the GM of the Miami Dolphins, would you make a trade for Deshaun Watson within the next 17 days? Would John Lopez, GM of the Miami Dolphins, be willing to make that deal?
100%. I know that's a strong statement. 100% you'll trade for Deshaun Watson. I think the Miami Dolphins are more than willing to ride it out, understand the backlash, understand the criticism, and accept it. I think they're more than willing to do that. It may take longer than 17 days, but I think they would be more than willing to do that if the Texans would take their deal. I do.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. I think so too. And I think Miami right now, I think it would be a very regretful decision if this does play out. And let's say another team acquires Deshaun Watson and he served an 8-game suspension. Because I think the reality of the situation, regardless of what does or doesn't happen with Deshaun Watson, is that if Deshaun Watson is eligible to play football, say what you want, teams are going to be willing to do damage control,
right.
Put it in the rear view.
They're
going to
withstand it. They understand what's coming. They're just going to say, screw it.
This isn't like, you know, going to get a turkey sandwich or something like that, and you walk into the sandwich place and they say, oh, we're out of turkey right now, and you go back tomorrow and you get that turkey sandwich. It takes decades sometimes to find a quarterback.
Yeah.
So this isn't like a situation where Miami,
trust us, we know,
can have the situation where Deshaun Watson at 25 years old, one of the 5 best quarterbacks in the game, is available, and you can just say no thanks, and then maybe next year that quarterback's available. Every first-round pick in the NFL draft that's been a quarterback from 2009 to 2016 is either out of the league or with a different team. That's the reality of the situation. Yeah. This isn't a turkey sandwich. This isn't going to get the new Popeye's chicken sandwich where you just got to come back and eventually you'll get to try it. The Miami Dolphins know this. They haven't had a franchise quarterback since Dan Marino. It's been a long time for them. They've developed a hell of a list when it comes to quarterbacks. So this notion that Miami can not be somewhat aggressive in trying to get a franchise quarterback is silly. They know better than anybody that you have to do that. And if you sit here with your hands up and you say, we're just going to let this play out, it only takes one team, whether it's the Philadelphia Eagles, whether it's the Raiders, whether it's the Broncos, to come in there and make that call. It can happen very, very soon. So Miami knows that. So to think that they're just going to sit back and let this play out, there's no guarantees that a guy like a Deshaun Watson, as a matter of fact, it's almost guaranteed that it's not going to happen more times than it is. There's not a guarantee that he's going to be there for you.
Dan Marino left the Miami Dolphins, retired four years before the Texans played their first game, 1999. Okay? Reverse things. Suppose the Miami Dolphins had Deshaun Watson and this was happening in Miami. Okay? But the Texans still were waiting for a quarterback. You don't think Texans fans would be, hey, sign us up. We understand. It's bad. We'll put up with it. The Dolphins and their fan base are going to sort of put up the walls and be able to deal with this. Can I interest you in some names? Jay Fiedler, Chad Pennington, Chad Henney, Jay Cutler, Dante Culpepper, Joey Harrington, Cleo Lemon. I mean, these are the starting quarterbacks that have been in Miami over the years since Dan Marino left. They're willing. I'm telling you right now, they're willing.
17 days. OG still thinks it happens. He still thinks the trade does happen. John McClain joining us tomorrow at 10:40, presented by Horn Solutions. We'll get John McClain's take on that and everything else going on. Coming up, the Deshaun Watson standoff slash legal battle continues. And one of the best coaches of all time slash managers returns to the Juice Box tonight. We fully expect a positive reception. We'll get into it next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Houston fans have been incredible to me, both, you know, before the sign stealing, after the sign stealing, when I was the manager there. You know, it's home for me, and that city matters to me. The fans have been tremendous, and obviously it'll be very emotional when I see them.
Dude's not getting booed. Why is that even being? What kind of reception do you think AJ Hinch will get? He's going to get cheered, okay? Like, what are we doing here?
If you don't stand and cheer for AJ Hinch.
Now, I might boo him if I'm there because I'm still pissed off about Game 7.
No, you're going to cheer him.
Throw some damn peanuts at you, AJ, after that pathetic display.
I mean, you would have.
Bringing in Will Harris two times in a row 2 days after you said he was gassed.
Look, it was awful.
Not leaving in Grinky. Garrett Cole warming up for nothing.
I mean,
you know what? I'm going to get tickets and boo his ass.
Now you're going to boo him? No. Any Astros fan who doesn't stand and applaud and cheer A.J. Hinch just doesn't get what he's brought to this city. Okay. What did he throw? A laptop against the wall or something? That was his biggest protest of the sign stealing. He didn't step forward. We understand the wrath that has come the Astros' way, and he was complicit. Yes. And it was bad. But that said, the reason people are so defensive about that 2017 championship, the reason that the Astros got to the Game 7 of the 2019 World Series is A.J. Hinch leading this team. I mean, obviously the talent on the team, but A.J. Hinch was the manager. You need to cheer and stand for that man.
I don't know.
It was okay to be mad at him.
Bringing up Game 7, I'm kind of upset.
It's okay to be mad at him for Game 7. But you need to cheer the man. Think about all the joy he brought you, Landry.
He's going
to
get cheered.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could have managed that squad a couple times.
I don't know about that.
For being honest about it. I'm kind of talking myself into booing AJ. He's not getting booed, though. You know that. I know that. He will be welcome. It's got to be an emotional time for him. It's not like, you know, he remained in baseball. He did have to sit out a year. And this is the first time since Game 7 that A.J. Hinch will be there. Ironically, Zach Greinke going to be on the mound for the Stros.
Who's your guy?
The only Astro who's gone over six innings this year in a start. 6-7, Zach Greinke. He's going to be on the bump tonight. Astros looking to avoid a three-game losing streak. A's kind of showed a little bit of a pulse on Friday night and Saturday night. A
couple of nice wins for them. Much needed if you're an A's fan. And certainly because, I mean, the Astros were just running away with it. They were just brutalizing the A's and putting them in their place, and they responded nicely. I mean, it happens.
Outscored them by 30 runs before Friday and Saturday's game. A's kind of save face, get the job done. But Astros versus Tigers tonight, A.J. Hinch will be cheered. Zach Greinke will be on the mound.
Ocho's with you, by the way.
He sent a very
offensive text he just sent to me.
Yeah, Ocho is not a A.J. Hinch fan. He's also not a huge Lance McCullers fan.
He said, stand, applaud, and cheer D's nuts. It's not very nice.
I always supported D's nuts. Leticia Quinones has had the, did I say that right? You say it so much better than I.
Quinones.
Say it again.
Quinones.
Okay, very well done. She has generated a lot of response on the text line. She is an associate with Rusty Harden. She has spent some time with quarterback Deshaun Watson. And this is the most passionate public support that Deshaun Watson has gotten the month or so that this legal battle has been brought to the forefront. Here is Mrs. Say it again.
Quinones.
In her defense of Deshaun Watson.
I am a mother of two daughters, 26 and 18. I am a woman of 49 years of age. I am a minority not just because of the color of my skin, but because of my gender. And more relevant than any of those things that I've shared with you, I too am a survivor. And I put that out there publicly in front of you to let you know I have authority to speak on the topic that I'm speaking on. Deshaun Watson is a young man that is probably young, well, no question, he's younger than my daughter. He's young enough to be my son. And if anybody knows me, they will tell you I'm anything but weak. I'm anything but someone who will follow something just for the sake of publicity or money. I stand on much higher values than that. And from the moment that I've spent time with this young man, I have no qualms telling you that I stand here unequivocally stating the things that he has been accused of, the things that he has been persecuted for in the public, he simply has not done.
Okay.
Look,
let it play out, but he didn't do this.
Yeah, yeah. The most passionate sounding testament to Deshaun Watson's character that we've heard. Because Rusty Harden was very factual based and matter of fact in his tone. But I thought Rusty Harden was so much more convincing than this. And the only reason is, part of it is what you just said. Like, he didn't do this. Let's not judge anyone too soon. I mean, and then the other part of it is, she's literally on Rusty Harden's team, and she has experience as a survivor herself, but she did something that we've all seen on a cop show or something. Does any mother think their kid would have done something whenever it's a crime committed? They all say, he never would have done this. He just wouldn't do that. Of course, people have gremlins and demons. We all do. And we don't know either side. You know, we don't know if what the plaintiffs are saying, if there's any truth to it. But we also don't know that because an attorney hired by Rusty Harden says, well, you know, he wants you to know what a mother, that he would never do this to his mother. We don't know how true that might be either.
Yeah, we really don't know much. And that's why we try to focus on, you know, the facts. And up until Friday, I wasn't even willing to acknowledge that these were massage therapists or these were set up, because that was just Tony Busby's side. Which is why, you know, when the question comes up, well, why would he bring his own towel? I'm not going to make that assumption until Rusty Harden says he brought his own towel. I'm not going to make that assumption because that is just one side story.
Correct.
But we did have acknowledgement that these were massages. They were set up on Instagram, and in some situations, again, we don't know all of them because there's 22 cases, but in some situations, per Rusty Harden, Deshaun's attorney, there was consensual sexual activity. My question is this, and maybe we'll never know this, is it like a predetermined sexual activity where you set up the massage and it's understood? Was there a relationship previous with Deshaun and these massage therapists to where it was just understood that that was going to go down? Or is he just going in there and just feeling it out and seeing how far he can push it? Because when I hear Letitia say, as soon as they got uncomfortable, he stopped, that's weird to me. That's kind of strange to me.
You're right, because uncomfortable with what? Uncomfortable with him asking, hey, I like you, I may want to, and make a move, so to speak, or actually exposing himself. That is not, an advance that is normal, and it's illegal. It's sexual misconduct. So what they're going to, both sides, you see what's going to be discussed here. It was consensual, et cetera, or nah, this dude brought his own towel. He exposed himself, and in some cases, allegedly, you know, touched these women. That is not, hey, you want to go out Friday night? I mean, no. That's what both sides are going to argue here.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to hear. I'm not really intrigued. It's kind of awkward to even like hear the defense. But I just want to hear if these were set up as massages, which it's now been addressed by both sides, and some of it led to sexual encounters. Is that just something that happens? Is that just, you know, one thing leading to another? What exactly are we working with here when it comes to that? Those are some of the questions that they're going to have to answer. And again, we don't know about the towel. The towel, that's just a Tony Busby thing at the moment. And Rusty Harden didn't really want to get into that either when he held court and faced the media types. Rachel, another associate of Rusty Harden, she was actually sent to spend time with Deshaun Watson when this case was picked up by Rusty Harden. Rachel, another associate, spent a couple days with Deshaun Watson. This is what she had to say about how her encounters with the likely soon-to-be former Texans quarterback.
I met Deshaun about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it might come as a surprise to all of you in this room. I didn't know who he was before then. I'm not from here, and I don't watch football. And so all I knew about Deshaun was what I read in the allegations. So when I met him, I didn't know what to expect. And all of us are up here, like Rusty said, not because we're women or women of color, but because we believe in him. We have spent every day fighting for him since he came to our firm. And I personally have spent hours with him. And I can tell you that this man is not capable of the things that are in the allegations. He is not that man. He is not a sexual predator. And I feel very strongly to say he has not forced, coerced, intimidated, or threatened any woman to do anything to him. I have watched day after day as lawsuits have come out, as the media has come out, how this has affected him. He shared with me that he has trouble sleeping and eating. It's not only affected him, it's affected everyone that's connected to him, his family. He has worked so hard for his name. And what I have found out about him is he cares deeply about this city, about his communities. He takes every opportunity he can to give back. Spending time with him, I've realized he's humble, he's respectful, he's honestly quiet and mild-mannered. And just to see the way that these women and Mr. Busby have tried to tear him down, it's very upsetting to me. Like I said, I feel like he has spent his entire life trying to do the right thing. We spent a lot of time talking to him about how he was raised, his work ethic, you know, his love of God, his religion, and what that plays in his life. And I would ask everyone to not rush to judgment. We are going to fight every day so that you all see the Deshaun that we know and that we've come to know. And, you know, I would just say that his name is something that he has not only worked hard for, no one has ever questioned his character or his reputation until this point. And we are not going to allow these women or Mr. Busby take that away from him. He is a good man. He does not deserve this. And I know that everyone will see that. They will, if you will allow the legal process to play out the way it's supposed to play out, you will see the man that we know.
All right, there is exactly what you would have expected from someone representing Deshaun Watson. I think there was something there that certainly raised an eyebrow with me. I don't think I'm taking this. I think I got this right. In one moment, she said, "I've spent hours with Deshaun Watson." Next, she said, "He's incapable of doing this." Because you spent hours with a person, you know he's incapable of doing this. These are things that you would expect the defensive side to come up with, but it truly just has become, Landry, just, we believe this. They're banking on public sentiment shifting toward, what if this was happening to you? What if you were completely innocent and these allegations came about? Well, yeah, that would be horrible. I don't put me in that position. Don't put Landry in that position. Don't put anyone in that position. They're banking on that being the public sentiment. It's not going to change. I think it's going to be out there for a long time, but that's where they're banking. You can't spend hours with someone and emphatically proclaim they're incapable of something.
I think this is where gray area is important these days, because, you know, if we're making a prediction or something like that, we'll say this team's going to win or this team's going to win the division. This is a different situation for the way that things are spoken of. Like, Deshaun Watson could be guilty of something without being guilty of the extreme. We don't know that. Like, yes, on one hand, the victims can be being protected through anonymity and all that. But on the other hand, Deshaun Watson, it can be used as a shield. Like, it's there's really no, like, black or white way to look at this because there's just so many possibilities. There's so many things going on.
Yeah.
And the reality is there is it is being played out in public, so there are going to be different takes. There are going to be different types of situations that people do go in do go through.
For sure. One other part of those, I guess, accounts from Ms. Quinones and
Rachel.
Yeah, I think it's Rachel Graham is her name. One thing on those is they're being, you know, paid to do this, just like Tony Busby is being paid to represent the plaintiffs, or will be. All we can decide is when we see it going into court and let the courts decide. We hear it all the time, you know, innocent until proven guilty. No one on this show has ever said anything but that, by the way, innocent until proven guilty. We're looking at this story, which is a dominant story in the United States, and we're talking about both sides. We're giving our opinion. We're kind of judging and sort of reading the rooms, so to speak. But just keep that in mind, that when they talk about he'll never get his reputation back, sadly, it'll be there anyway. Whether he's proven innocent in a court or not, people are going to say, he just lawyered up. He got off. That is already...
Some people, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That is not going to change in a lot of circles. Just go through history of players who have had these allegations, some true, some not, and it stays with them.
Yep. That's the crazy part about this. There are a lot of moving parts. 713-572-4610 to get in. Roderick, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead.
My name is Roger. Look, man, I appreciate the way you all do talk about the story. You give both sides of the deal. But I'd like to say this, though. I'm still giving Deshaun Watson the benefit of the doubt as of today. But here's my experience, and I'm just short and sweet. Prior to the rail downtown on Main Street, there was a part of Main Street that had a barbershop in it with massages. And a lot of times, man, those massages aren't massages, as we know that. And I'd also like to comment on the part when you say about consensual sex. Okay? A lot of times it's just a one-night stand. I was a DJ for 35 years, and it wasn't that I was all of that. It was a one-night stand, and that was it. No disrespect to the lady, and I'm not disrespecting the ladies that are making the claim. But what I'm starting to dislike is that it seems like it's shifting here and there, where Deshaun Watson is becoming a monster or a negative person. Maybe he does have he's sexually deviant. Okay?
No, that's but a possibility. Position, yeah.
Yes, sir. And in closing, in his position, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong here, I think one of the quarterbacks for the San Francisco 49ers was raked over the coals because of a certain particular lady that he was dating. All right? So now I'm in the crossfire here. Do I date three or four different women and y'all know about it? Or do I keep my business to myself, because there are a lot of men that go to these massage parlors, winch.
All right, Rod, we appreciate you. First of all, it wasn't a parlor. It was a reach out. But, yeah, it was a, you know, he reached out to them according to his own defense. There's a lot of possibilities. We can go through all the possibilities, which I'm sure we will. But I don't know what to make of
it. You know,
we
keep trying to make sure that we understand both sides and talk about both sides. But I will say this, in my opinion. Deshaun Watson, and I think you've agreed with me when I've told you this in the past.
Don't put pressure on me.
He has a problem, whether it's self-awareness or what he considers to be consensual.
Well, again, here's the thing. Like, I think all I'm focusing in on is facts. I don't know.
We know sides have said he's been in the room. It was consensual, and he reached out.
I know that. I know that his management said when they put out the emails. That he was willing to negotiate because he needed to learn a lesson. That's what his management said.
Right.
That's what I know. I don't know about any problem.
And they
anything,
both put him
that.
There doing this Well, it's how it's what happened is the problem.
Landry Locker, issue. John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Shout out to the Loopholes for joining us on a Monday. John McClain going to join us tomorrow at 10:40. Looks like he might be getting that first question back.
Or will he?
Or will he? That is the question. He's going to join us at 10:40.
What's up, Sarah?
Courtesy of Horn Solutions. We're also going to react to the return of A.J. Hinch as well as the latest from Deshaun Watson. Could something be coming down very soon? Only time will tell. For the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best of the world at what he do, I'm Landry Locker. We'll talk to you mañana at 10 a.m. But in the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley are next.
Thank you, Figgy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.